This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, BlackStarLabs.com, and by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast, FitCast episode number 61. My name is Kevin Larrabee and we have a great show lined up for you this week as always. Joining me this week is Tony Gentlecore of GentlecoreTraining.com. What's up, Tony?
How you doing? It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. It's great to have you back on the FitCast. And also we have Jen Heath of, is it JenHeath.com?
Yes, it is.
Fantastic. Well, we have Jen Heath back with us again this week, taking a little bit of a break from jumping through the sprinkler, things like that. So,
well, volleyball, sprinkler, volleyball, yeah, fun stuff.
Sprinkler volleyball? So you just like?
It's really fun. I'll keep it short. It's a volleyball net. It's this awesome sprinkler. It's like a long little hose, and it has a bunch of little squiggly hoses that come off of the long hose, and you hook it up upside down to the bottom of the volleyball net and turn the water on full blast, and the things just spray water everywhere. And everyone's out there just, you know, doing their spikes in the water, and we're having a good old time.
Sounds like.
See how much I love everyone that listens to the FitCast? I take a break from my fun volleyball to come be on the FitCast. See?
There you go. So everyone make sure to send some love to Jen Heath this week. Well, let's just jump quickly into what we're going to talk about this week. We're going to start off, as always, with some FitCast news. We're going to go into the listener mail, quickly mention our sponsors, then we have a pretty nice roundtable discussion. We're going to be talking about high-intensity interval training that you can do outside of the gym, because summer's almost over, and we want you to take advantage of that nice weather while you can. So first off, briefly for the FitCast news, articles, seriously, swear to God, are going to start coming back on Monday. We're just getting everything all organized again. I just moved into a new apartment and things have been pretty hectic up here. And we're just getting that all together. I have my article all set and primed, ready to go tomorrow morning. And I have an article from Tony and one from Jen. So we're going to start pounding all that stuff out this week. So look for them starting on Monday. Next up, I want to quickly mention that I did get that Stevia Balance from Now that Jimmy and I talked about in the show a couple weeks ago, where it was basically packets of Stevia, and I've been using that in my shakes. I have the chocolate casein protein from our good friends at BlackStarLabs.com, and I've been throwing in a packet of that with two scoops of that protein that I usually make every morning for breakfast, because at that point I'm too tired or lazy to cook something, so I usually just like to get some quick protein in. And this, it tastes great. It actually does. It's not bitter like I thought it was in the past. I don't know if it's the Now brand or what it is, or if I was using too much before opposed to using just 1 gram that comes in the packet. But I'm going to be using it pretty much once or twice a day, so I don't know. It's nice to have another choice of sweetener, for artificial sweetener. And next up, I want Tony to talk about his news, because Tony's been busy the last couple of weeks. And Tony, I'd like you to just tell the whole audience what's been going on.
Well, I will get into that, but I have a little bone to pick, because I know a couple weeks ago I was listening to the show, and people seem to think that, you know, I'm like a Harry Potter nerd. And, you know, I skipped the FitCast to watch Harry Potter, when that in fact wasn't the case. But I did read the book. I will admit that. But yes, things have been very busy. Eric Cressy opened up his own facility in Hudson, Massachusetts about 3 weeks ago. And he asked me to come along with him and help with the training, which I obviously did. I quit my job at Sports Club LA and been working with Eric for the past few weeks, but we've been trying to get this thing off the road here, and we've been training athletes pretty much from day one with just the barbell and power blocks. But now renovations are done. We have walls up, just waiting for the rest of our equipment to come. We have probably, I want to say, 55-60% of our equipment in. And it's a kick-ass place. It's actually a facility within a facility, and like I said, in Hudson, Massachusetts. We put it in a place called America's Pastime, which is a indoor batting cages, and they have pitching mounds. So it's cool because all of our baseball guys can come in, lift, hit, and throw all in one facility. And you know, we've been training a ton of baseball players, and Fred, the owner of the actual facility, is, you know, he say we'll easily get, you know, we aren't even in high season now, and you know, we haven't even met with all the parents or anything that are going to be coming in, but we'll get a ton of baseball players as well as all the local high schools, and as well as just regular average Joes too coming in. So it's been a hectic few weeks to say the least, but we're very, very, very excited about it. So we'll be having a grand opening soon, probably sometime in September. So hopefully we'll get you guys. I know Jen said her and Cass might come on and get a lift in soon, which would be nice. And we would definitely want you to come in, Kevin, because I know you got a new 400-pound deadlift in.
Yes.
So I actually wanted to see it. I'm just playing.
No, but, man, you'll see it.
But no, we're like I said, we're very excited about it. You know, I blogged about it briefly last week on my Boston Herald blog. And mentioned that this isn't the type of place we're going to be listening to Celine Dion and John Mayer in the background. And it's just going to be a nice, really good training environment for athletes, as well as just people wanting to come in and get their butts kicked and getting in shape. So, but we'll be talking about it more as the weeks come. Like I said, we haven't even gotten all of our equipment in yet. So,
good stuff. And Tony, can people in the audience contact you if they want to get some more information about possibly training there?
Absolutely. We'll actually have a website up, CressyPerformance.com.
Okay.
Right now, that website's going to take you into Eric's site, EricCressy.com. But we will have a website up soon, and certainly you can either email me or Eric at his site to get any further inquiries. It's nice because the facility is really easy access off some of the major highways in Massachusetts. It's a pretty small town, but I mean, it's big compared to where I'm from, but it's small for Massachusetts, but really easy access right off of some major highways in Massachusetts, and you know, hopefully people would want to stop by and say hi.
Absolutely. Well, people should make sure to check that out, and we'll, as always, keep you up to date with more information comes out when the site is fully up and running. Something I want to quickly mention before we jump in to the listener mail is actually it is fitness news, and it was on I think it's pronounced Reuters, which is it's like the Associated Press, but basically they had a story titled "Americans See Fat as Normal as Weights Rise," and there was a study that was done, and basically they found that more and more people are finding that being fat or just overweight, it's just seen as normal, as that's the way things are now. And of course, we always talk about the growing rate of obesity in the United States. And I'll throw up the link in the show notes if you want to check out the article in regards to the study. And just some more interesting stuff, interesting and depressing at the same time. But I guess that's just how it is. Let's jump into our listener mail now. This one is to Tony, and this is from a listener that says, "I saw your blog post on cottage cheese, and I want to eat more of it, but I was wondering if you had any tricks to keeping it low-carb and tasting good." I think you meant tasting well, but maybe tasting good works. But Tony,
we're
actually...
We're not grammar Nazis here.
No, we're not. But Tony, I saw this, and I don't know if you're just going to tell him to just choke it down.
Yeah, I will. I think Eric and I had this discussion earlier this week with a couple of our athletes, you know, kind of complaining. We say cottage cheese and people cringe like we're trying to tell them to eat car battery acid or something worse. I don't know. But, you know, it's just like some people, athletes in particular, are coming to a point in time where, you know, they will literally eat dirt in order to get better. You know, if we were to say, if you can eat this food and it's going to help you improve body composition, what have you, I mean, most people I would think would eat that food. So, you know, cottage cheese, I'll be the first to admit, it's not the most appetizing thing in the world by itself. I think the question was they were trying to look for ways to keep it low carb.
Yeah.
I have a couple of suggestions when we're...
Yeah, go ahead.
I knew you would, Jen. That's what I was going to jump right to you.
No, well, first of all, yeah, choke the cottage cheese down because it's an anabolic food. There's something about cottage cheese, very, very powerful food. But if anyone has been, go to these two websites, okay? You got Terrani.com and DaVinci.com, and those are those Italian syrup.
Oh, the sugar-free syrup.
Okay, and those are what you would make, you know, like they have them, the regular full sugar, of course, but they also have them sugar-free with the Splenda. You know, and I kind of alternate between Stevia and Splenda, but for cottage cheese, it's like a must for me. Like, I mean, like, seriously, quarter cup of blueberries, it's not very many carbs. There's a lot of fiber anyway, so there's hardly anything in that. Or even none. I mean, the raspberry, all the fruit flavors, like raspberry and blueberry particularly, are really good. Just pour it on there, on the cottage cheese. So good. And you can order these right online, right from those websites. Terrani, T-O-R-A-N-I, and DaVinci, D-A-V-I-N-C-I. I think that's right. Any grammar Nazis want to correct me on the spelling? But anyway, those are the two sites, and you just got to look for their sugar-free products. And the best, obviously, if you're going to put fruit on there for carbohydrate purposes, is raspberries, blueberries, you know, things that have fiber in them. And you only need a little bit for a little bit of flavor, but like a half of a cup or a cup of cottage cheese with the syrups on there. And I've told that to all of my clients, and the ones that just will not eat cottage cheese no matter what, they think it's disgusting, the texture, they can't help themselves, they did fine. But, I mean, most of them are like, praise me. They like, oh, I love you, Jen. Thank you so much for the tip. And they do it all the time. So me and all my clients were enjoying a bowl of cottage cheese with syrup on it in the morning.
Yeah. It's just one of those things. Like, you know, cottage cheese is up there. You tell people to eat, you know, red meat or whatever. It's just for what, like, people just, they want to hear you say, oh, eat pizza, eat spaghetti. And it's just not the case. And, you know, in my opinion, I think if we took a person who's saying cottage cheese is horrible, and we went out and asked any person who looks remotely fit or lean or whatever, you know, they will. Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still on. We lost Jen though.
You know, ask them what they eat on a typical day, and I guarantee you, there's probably 10 or 15 foods that are staples in their diet. Cottage cheese being one of them. Lean meat, fruits, vegetables. You know, mixed nuts. It's just food that. If you're looking to get lean and you're looking to improve your body composition, that you're just going to have to suck it up and eat it, you know. But Jen's suggestions were obviously spectacular. I typically just tell people to add a little their favorite protein powder to it, like half a scoop with some natural peanut butter, and, you know, make it into like a pudding and eat it that way. That's typically what I do. Might even add a little bit of flavored yogurt to it that is sweetened. And I usually tell people, I usually use it as a pre-bed snack for most people. But that's typically how I tell people to make it taste better, quote unquote. Because, I mean, I'll agree, cottage cheese by itself is just atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
If I can add a little bit of protein powder to it, chocolate is probably the best, and a little bit of natural peanut butter. And I think it tastes 10 times better that way. And, you know, eat it right before bed, and you're good to go. And let's not forget, people, low carb, you know, putting in the protein powder and the peanut butter is going to lower the insulin response of any carbs you're going to be eating in the cottage cheese anyway. So it's really not that big of an issue, in my opinion.
A couple quick things that I use for tips, because I used to have the same problem, but now I find myself going through a tub of cottage cheese every 2 days.
Oh, I go through a tub a day.
Oh,
yeah, because I'm tough.
Some things that I use is something called PB2, which is powdered peanut butter, which is, I think it has 75% less fat, and you can throw in like 2 tablespoons of that, which equals out to, I think, about 100 calories in a post, and it's about the equivalent of just having 2 tablespoons of real peanut butter, and it's pretty sweet stuff. It's still pretty low carb, and you can throw that in with your cottage cheese, mix it up, and then take some fish oil to get a little bit more fat in there.
Yep.
And that tastes pretty good. I do that sometimes, and also just mixing in, throwing in, I love cinnamon sugar stuff, so I like to do put in some cinnamon, and I also throw in either some Splenda or some, I might even give some Stevia a try and see how that tastes. And one thing that you could do, you know what, experiment I mean, the worst thing you can do is you might lose a cup of cottage cheese. You might have to throw it out.
I've put in the worst concoctions you can ever dream of. I mean, putting in... I mean, Eric and I were actually talking about this the other day. It's like, we was one day on a shake, I put in spinach, broccoli, and protein powder, blueberries, you know, whatever I could think of it. I just put it in the shake. And I mean, I experiment all the time. So, yeah, worst case, you lose a cup of cottage cheese, no big deal.
Yeah, just don't get too brave and mix like a couple scoops of greens plus in your cottage cheese. Like that's just suicidal. That's not smart. But the whole point is to just figure out a couple ways so you can really get some more cottage cheese in your diet.
But I mean, it's not just cottage cheese. You know, it's just, you know, yeah, people need to suck it up. But you know, it's just improving food quality in general. And you know, I'll be blunt with people and be like, suck it up, like eat it,
yep.
You know, but like I said, if you want to look a certain way, there's certain foods you have to be eating, and you shouldn't be skipping meals, because I know a lot of people won't even eat before bed because they feel like, you know, they'll get fat or they don't need the calories or what, I don't know, whatever, but just that, I pretty much tell all my clients that for their pre-bed snack, that's what they're having, so.
Well, there you go. So you better be eating your cottage cheese, folks. Do it. Well, let's jump into our next piece of listening to mail. We're still without Jen Heath, but hopefully she's going to give us a call back. I'm guessing she lost service or something. But anyways, this is to everyone. How often do you incorporate speed work into your workouts? And he says, for example, speed bench, speed deadlift, and speed squats. So I'm going to shoot that one to you first, Tony. I mean, I do some speed work. I'm actually going to be throwing in some speed work in the program I'm putting together for myself for next month. And I found it helped me just feel a little bit more refreshed. And actually, my weight went up, especially in my bench, the month after I did a month of just some speed work on the bench.
Mm-hmm. Me, I'm the same way, same boat. I'm usually doing some form of speed bench once a week, and some form of speed pull or squat once a week too. I mean, let's not forget, I mean, this is for everyone. Getting faster, everyone needs to get faster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, getting faster, you're going to get stronger.
Well, that's one thing that Eric tried to pound into my head when I was at Excel, is that my lifts were slow.
Yeah.
And he just said, Larry, you can speed it up. And when I thought I was speeding it up, he said, no, you got to go faster.
Yeah.
And you know what? Look at, Let's put it this way. 3 months ago when I was lifting slowly, I was doing my deadlifts would take maybe a second or two longer than they do now to get up. And now I can deadlift over 150 pounds more than I could 3.5 months ago.
Yeah, and that's because you learn to train faster. Absolutely. So I wouldn't necessarily tell somebody who's just starting out, who's 40 pounds overweight, that, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, we're going to be doing speed benches today. You know, and I certainly wouldn't tell somebody if their max bench press is 100 pounds that speed benches are going to do any good. I mean, they just need to get stronger in the first place. But, you know, who's to say that doing a med ball circuit wouldn't constitute a speed work, or just doing you know, body weight, explosive push-ups, just doing maybe some altitude jumps, stuff like that. Just learning to develop force quickly will help everyone. I don't care who you are, to some capacity. And then as they get a little bit more advanced in their training, then you can start adding in, you know, like the band speed benches, pulling against chains, and stuff like that. And even then, I mean, depending on an intermediate or advanced lifter, we're going to fluctuate what movements we're doing each week anyways. And I can get into that in a little bit if we want. But just in a general sense, everyone needs to be doing some form of speed training. So whether it's just focusing on being more explosive with your basic lifts, or just adding in a med ball circuit, explosive push-ups, box jumps, anything like that, will definitely help.
And we're talking about, would it be fair to say that we're talking about using somewhere around 60% of a one rep max?
You can start with that. I mean, even using something. I mean, I usually use 50 to 70% with people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's right in the middle.
Yeah. So if we're talking bench press, you know, and even then, each week you could just go 50%, 55%, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then you can certainly start adding in bands or straight, because using straight weight, I mean, for most people, it's going to beat up the shoulders pretty well after a couple weeks. I know it does with me. So that's when, you know, adding in the bands is great because it forces you to learn how to stabilize too. But certainly it helps you decelerate the bar at the top, which kind of takes a little bit of stress off the shoulders at the top of the movement. Same thing with the chains. So if people have access to it, they're great. Don't get me wrong, but I think people tend to jump into that a little too quickly. Bands, we're cool now, we're using bands. You know, it's like, let's just get strong in general. And, like, I know people rag on it all the time in Waterbury saying, you know, just train faster, but there's a lot of merit to it. You know, I teach people, and I know Eric does as well, is to control your eccentric. Think about being fast on the way up. It might not necessarily be fast, but just as long as the intent of being fast is there, that's certainly going to help too. But throwing in some dedicated speed training at the beginning of your workout would certainly go a long ways. And really, just something as simple as doing a med ball circuit would fall into that category fairly easily.
This is somewhat off topic, but Tony, I just want to get your opinion on this because for the last couple of weeks, a lot of people. I mean, I've heard people talk about in the past about, like, almost talking to yourself when you're not physically having your mouth move, but inside of your head, talking to yourself, telling you to, like, push the weight up when it's starting to come down, like, get ready to just push the weight up. And I found that that's actually been helping me, and it might be, granted, it's probably totally psychological.
Yeah.
But I know people have talked about that might get you more primed and ready to just push that weight up harder.
I've heard of that before, like people saying as you're lowering it, just automatically start thinking push.
Yeah.
Is that's what you're referring to?
Well, I'm just thinking, like, when I'm bringing the weight down, I start thinking in my head, Kevin, you gotta push this weight up hard and as fast as you can. Like if I'm going where I'm doing like a set of maybe three, two or one, I'm just thinking I gotta psychologically push this weight up, because normally in the past I haven't thought about that. I usually don't think about anything when I'm lifting.
Mm-hmm.
My mind's usually blank, but in the last couple of weeks I've just been doing like my own personal case study, I guess, where I was just every time I lift and I'm doing my big lifts, like I'm doing my squat, my deadlift, or my bench, I'm thinking to myself right before I'm going to be pushing that weight up, I'm thinking to myself, muscles turn on and push that weight up hard. And again, probably totally psychological, but it's been helping me.
Hey, whatever works.
Exactly,
you know? I mean,
whatever
if that's
works.
That's what you have to do, then. I mean, I'll be honest and say that I've never really.
And I'm training by myself now, so I don't have someone yelling at me.
You kind of have to psych yourself up some way. I mean, I know when you were training at Excel, you kind of had, you know, the other guys around you.
Yeah, George yelling in my ear.
Yeah, so I mean that certainly works. And you know, a lot of times when I'm with an athlete or just a private training client, half my job is kind of the motivation factor. You know, a lot of times I just hand people the dumbbell and, mm-hmm. and say, this is what you're going to do, you know, and then they do it. You know, I've always said in the past that people are, they're stronger than they think they are. Cause I mean, you see a lot of women when they train in the gyms, they just grab the 5 pound or 10 pound dumbbells and then they just go about their business. And a lot of times if I'm working that same client, I'll hand them the 20, 25 pound dumbbells, say, we're going to do the exact same thing. And then they'll look at me all flabbergasted, oh, I can't do that. And then they end up doing it. You know, so that motivational factor is huge. And if you're training by yourself, Kevin, then absolutely, then there's something wrong. Personally, I've never done that. I've never really looked into it, but absolutely, that would make sense to me, how that would help.
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck for the next 2 weeks. I've been training. I'm back up at school in my apartment. I've been training by myself at the gym because there's literally no one here. All the athletes are coming back this week, so hopefully once everyone starts filtering back into the gym, I can get back.
Actually, this is interesting, because I have this talk with my girlfriend quite a bit. Do you find it helps you, whatever gym you're working at, because I mean, I've trained at a lot of different gyms than you have as well, does it help you to have a crowd around you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well,
let's put it this way. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's put it this way. When I was going for my first 400-pound deadlift at the gym last week. And you know what? Right before I put on those plates, a tour came through the gym because they were giving tours for the gym.
Yeah.
And I pulled that weight up, and I'm like, I pulled the weight up a lot easier. Because, I don't know, probably because I had a crowd. And it's nice to have a crowd. Like, that's one thing that
the
always...
The girls start ripping off their panties once they saw that.
Oh, I had panties. Like, there was at least two sets of panties at my toes when I like, put the weight back down. It was...
Well, it does... Because I know my girlfriend is the same way. Like, she likes going to train at a gym where there's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when there's not a lot of people around, she feels a little bit more unmotivated to train. And I always try to get on her on that because... I just think it's a little loony, but that's the way she is. Like she definitely gets a little bit of an adrenaline rush, you know, having people around her. And actually, funny story, she was telling me that Justin Timberlake was at the gym again the other day, where she trains, where I used to work. And whoa,
totally unrelated. I would.
But no, it's just funny. It's just funny because I guess. Timberlake, like, she was doing box squats,
mm-hmm.
and she said, yeah, Timberlake was checking me out doing box squats. I'm like, yeah, probably because you can squat more than he can. And
probably he's got little chicken legs.
He's a tiny guy. But then Kate Hudson was there at the same time training with her trainer.
Oh, wow.
And this is how like, and how cool my girlfriend is like, yeah, her trainer was having her do some bullshit BOSU ball squats. Like, oh, you're awesome. But then she told me about the Timberlake thing and how he was checking her out doing the box squats. I was like, that's totally because you could totally outlift him. Because I've seen him train twice, and he doesn't lift that much weight. So, but yeah, she likes that, the environment of people being around her. So that's interesting. So you, it sounds like you're the same way. Me, it doesn't really make that much of a difference. Like, I just put my iPod on and I go at it. But I know I do get a lot of, like, I train with Eric, and you know, having him around is definitely a help because, you know, we'll push each other. He pushes me more than I push him, but it certainly helps to have that training partner. But I don't necessarily need a ton of people around me.
Yeah, that could be huge because again for. Like you were saying, it made me even think about back to the days when I played high school basketball. I used to always perform a lot better in a game when I had a crowd than I would have practiced in a scrimmage.
Oh yeah,
because you have that crowd and you feel like you can just run down the court that 2 seconds faster just because you have so much adrenaline. I'm not saying you have a whole gym cheering you on. But if you have a couple members that you might be attracted to in the gym, that might just give you that little edge that you might need to say, you know, we just got to get this weight up, you know?
And it's funny because, like, guys will do that all the time. You'll see them, like, if there's a couple attractive girls in the gym, they'll put, like, two plates on the bench. You know, it's like thinking that the girls are – they could care less about that.
Well, that's great. Most of the girls up here, there's actually a lot of girls at my school that that squat, which is really interesting. It's something I don't ever see at home, mostly because I most of the women at the gym at home are all soccer moms and are just basically women that are doing the BOSU ball shit and all that stuff. But it's actually a little bit refreshing to see that up here. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually working on a new article soon. It's going to be a squat article, but, you know, defending the full squat and basically saying that, you know, I find that pancakes have bigger asses than a lot of these women. You know, and it was, you know, Caitlin and I were down by the harbor in Boston last night, just like people watching, because we actually went and saw the Bourne Ultimatum last night, but we're kind of wasting time before the movie started.
Oh, is it good?
And like, oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. But we had to sit in the third row because it was so crowded. It's, watching a Bourne movie in the third row is just not a good idea because it's very shaky.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, oh. But no, awesome movie. Real awesome movie. And
I'm sure we'll make sure when Jimmy's back on the show next week, he'll have his full review for everyone.
Yeah, he probably hated it because he sucks at what movies he likes. But but no, we're down by the harbor, and I just made a comment. I was just watching girls walk by. I was like, man. Girls have no asses. It's unfathomable. You know, Jen, I mean, she's like telling women to lunge, squat,
mm-hmm.
squat.
Yeah.
So we hopefully we're getting through to people, but I'll be writing an article soon on, you know, defending the full squat. And it's not geared towards women, but just in general anyways, but it should be pretty cool.
Good stuff. Looking forward to it.
Yes.
Well, let's jump into our sponsors quickly before our roundtable. First off, TurbulenceTraining.com, boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Don't forget to check out the August edition of the TTMembers.com workout if you're part of the TTMembers.com site. And if you aren't, you know what, check it out. You can get a new workout every month. Next up is BlackStarLabs.com, and you can save 10% using the code FIT10, that's F-I-T-1-0, when you throw that into the comments at checkout. That 10% will be applied after you complete your order. You won't see the difference, but you will be charged 10% less. And our feature product for Blackstar Labs this month is the bulk beta-alanine. Blackstar Labs has... You basically get a Ziploc bag full of 1,500 milligram beta-alanine capsules, and that will cover you for a couple months, and that's $50. It's $49.99, and with saving 10%, you can get it for $44.99. Something like that. And something that's great about Blackstar Labs is they have like just one price for shipping. So no matter how much you order, there's always one price for shipping, which I think is great. And so just great to put together one big bulk order. And last but not least, RobertsonTrainingSystems.com, high-octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. And before we do go into the roundtable, I just want to quickly mention, I sent out some T-shirts too. We had a huge contest a couple weeks ago for the newsletter subscribers where I sent out a bunch of T-shirts, a sweatshirt. And when you do get your T-shirts or your sweatshirts, please send me a picture with you wearing it to kevin@thefitcast.com, and I'll make sure to throw it up on the site. And we'd love to see pictures of the members of the site. Of course, we're talking about having clothes on. So it's just the whole point. It doesn't sound creepy or anything. But just want to mention that. And also... I forgot to mention this in the FitCast news, but Zach Evanash will be on the show next week. So we'll look for an interview with him. I'm going to be doing a one-on-one interview with him, and then we'll also have the main show next week because I'm going to do the interview with him during in the middle of the week. So if you have questions for Zach, make sure to send them to questions@thefitcast.com. I'll make sure to get those in when we have the interview. So get those in as soon as possible. Just wanted to quickly mention that. Now getting that off.
Zach's a good guy.
Yeah, he sent me... he's a really funny guy. He's actually joking around in the email. We were corresponding a little bit, and it's actually pretty funny. I won't get into the part of the email, but it was good stuff. And let's jump into our roundtable discussion this week, and it's actually... all about high-intensity interval training that you can do outside of the gym. Basically, I brought this up because I ran into a dilemma up at school where my gym is not open on the weekend. So I'm lifting Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and doing some intervals on Wednesday. But now on Saturday and Sunday, I get pretty restless if I can't get in some kind of exercise. So something I wanted to bring up for a roundtable is just what we can do for high intensity interval training outside of the gym, or maybe just some extracurricular stuff, some things you can do on the beach. So I'll just start off and let's just bounce things back and forth, because I know we totally lost Jen. I don't know. Hopefully she's back.
She'd be perfect for this. She'd tell people to like grab like a water hose and do jumping jacks.
Or like throw your kid up and down while doing backflips. I don't know. But hopefully she's just enjoying some, sprinkler volleyball. But anyways, what I ended up doing is that we have some really great athletic fields near the school, and I can just walk down in the athletic fields, and I was just setting up, it was about 45 or 50 yards, where I was just sprinting 45 or 50 yards, walking back, then again sprinting that 45, 50 yards, walking back, and it gave me a good 2-to-1 ratio for my intervals. And that's just something that I did. I just did 15 of those just to get something done today, because I go nuts unless I do something. But Tony, I'll bounce it back to you to see if some of the things that you do.
Yeah, I mean, I keep it simple. Like, I'm not as imaginative as Jen or anything like that. But I mean, if you have a track nearby or anything that has an open field, you really can't be just going and doing some sprints.
Mm-hmm.
I also think there's a lot to be said about not being so linear with our sprinting. So just doing some simple, you can really just set up like an actual mobility circuit and make it into a HIIT type training. So you might do high kicks on the way back, karaoke on the way back to the line, and just go, and you could probably line up with probably a good 8 to 10 mobility movements, and then also throw in some 25-yard shuttle runs, change the direction. I think once people start throwing in change of direction, automatically makes it all the more quote unquote intense. So I definitely think just try not to be so linear. I mean, sure, going to do sprints on a track is superior because I don't think anything tops that. But I also think adding in a lot of change of direction stuff. Like I used to, in my old hometown, go right to the football field, and I used to do suicides. Sprint to the 10-yard line, turn around, come back, change the direction, just touch it, tap and go. Up to like 50 yards. Like I wasn't crazy and did like a 100-yard suicide because that would take like 10 minutes.
Yeah, we used to call those gassers in high school.
Yeah. Yeah, just throwing in that little change of direction makes all the difference in the world. I even gone as far as just doing sprints around baseball paths, and Eric and I even gone to the extent, instead of doing our air nine sprints at the end of our training sessions, we just hop in one of the cages and throw pitches to each other and take batting practice, certainly throwing in change of directional stuff is going to go a long ways as far as stuff you can do outside the gym. Because really, when you're in the gym, it's all linear. I mean, when you're on a treadmill, on a bike, on the elliptical, it's all up and down, straight ahead. So I think the more you can throw in change of direction, the better off you're going to be. So that's my version of it.
Another thing I wanted to hit on was doing some simple things like you can... Everyone out there should be able to pick up a jump rope of some sort, mm-hmm. and just be able to. You can do intervals with a jump rope, and also if you have something like a agility ladders, you can do things with agility ladders to just mix it up a little bit. If you can get a hold of one of those, or you can make an agility ladder for like $5 or $10. I made my own agility ladder pretty easily with some rope and some duct tape, but. Just simple things like that. And if you have any suggestions for what people can do for interval training outside of the gym, and we'll actually mention them on the show next week, just shoot them to me at kevin@thefitcast.com or reply to the newsletter when I send it out tomorrow. And we'll mention some of those. And we'll even give out a free T-shirt to one of the people that responds for our favorite idea for that. We'll vote on it or something like that. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, the jump rope is actually really, really good.
That can be intense, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you definitely have to work up to it and not look like a jackass, but it's definitely, and it's cheap. I mean, you can get a jump rope for less than $10.
Yeah, just think of where you can go. You can go to places like basketball courts. You can do suicides there. You can do, even if you play basketball, some high-intensity interval training stuff that you can do with a basketball. Like, you can do miking drills, which can be a huge pain in the ass. You could even do, if you're training for getting ready for the upcoming basketball season, you can do some dribbling drills at high speeds.
I've known people who took wheelbarrows, filled them up with rocks or concrete, and did a down and back, and then dropped down, did push-ups,
mm-hmm.
Some squat thrusters. I mean, there's so many. Anything will work, that's the cool. I mean, I grew up on a, looking back, I mean, I grew up on a sawmill in my hometown. I could have just gone out and, like, bench or overhead pressed some, like, logs or something. I've even had people do mowing the lawn and do, HIIT training with that.
I've done that before.
Scary.
It's nuts.
People will sprint doing their lawn. it's crazy. But yeah, so I would love to hear what other people, what any ideas they have. Certainly.
And before, I know people out there listening are probably thinking about this right now, but even finding some stairs that you can do sprints up, just sprinting up stairs and then walking down, things like that, just finding a couple flights of stairs that are near an apartment building or someplace near your house, especially if it's outside, that'd be great to just get outside a little bit. But endless possibilities, and we can't wait to hear what you have for
just
us.
Just get out there and move.
Exactly. Just get out there. But I think that's going to wrap it up for us. So before we do go, again, as always, make sure to check out thefitcast.com. Check out the show on iTunes. Check out our Facebook group. Our Facebook group has blown up in the last 2 weeks.
We have a Facebook group?
We do. We do.
I didn't know that.
Well, I mentioned it last week on the show. Like, we've had it for a couple months. Like, I just made it and invited all my friends, and they... people who listen to the show have been just finding it on Facebook, and they've been jumping on it, and I've been getting a bunch of guys who listen to the show and are on Facebook and been sending me friends requests, which are great because it makes it look like I have more friends, which is, it's good to look popular, you know. And we're having, actually, people are having conversations on the Facebook group for the FitCast. So if you're part of Facebook, it's totally free to sign up. You can hook up with your friends on there. Just keep in contact with all your old friends. And as you can join the FitCast Facebook group. And I want to get that up to 500 people by November. We're almost at 200 right now, and I think we can get it up to 500. If you join it and then invite all of your friends and have them invite all their friends, that probably won't work, but we'll see what happens. But check that out, and you should be checking out GeneralCoreTraining.com. And
yeah, absolutely.
Is it TonyGeneralCore.blogspot.com?
Yes. It's been tough because I do that blog, and I also, like I said, I blog for the Boston Herald, so I try to do.
Do you know what the link is for that?
It's BostonHerald.com. And then there is an actual link to it. I mean, I'll have to send it to you. But then you just go
to
bloggers.
Yeah, I'll throw it in the show notes.
Yeah, and then but I do a lot on that blog just because it's a lot of information that the general public needs to know. Mm-hmm. When it comes to my blog, there I'm allowed to swear and stuff like that. So those are more kind of like rants. I can't really say, you know, fuck you, you're kind of cheese on the Boston Herald. So, between the two, I try to do one or the other each day. And then, you know, with the website, just kind of keep posted with articles I have published. I do have to do more on my website. We actually have a publicist working with us in Hudson, and I have to meet with her on Tuesday, and she's going to kind of give me a little lecture on what I need to be doing. So.
Well, there you go. You got to get on that.
I know.
What else do we? I think that's pretty much it. I mean, like we said, always check us out on iTunes. Subscribe on iTunes. If you have already or if you haven't, throw up a review for us up on iTunes, because the more reviews we get, the better our ranking, and the more people that will start listening to us, and we can get the word out. So please do that, and I think we're going to get out of here. We're going to have a nice short show for you this week, full of information, and that's going to wrap it up. So for episode number 61, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Tony Johncourt.
And you know what? Get out there, do something, do some sprints, do some suicides, and we'll see you next week with Zach Emnish. Take care, everyone. All right, that was pretty good for a
sweet. I know. I'm not quite. I don't insult you as much as Jimmy does. So.
Oh, I know. I was gonna say people are gonna be like, "Where were the insults this week?" There's no. Too bad Jimmy couldn't phone in some insults for us.